This is Two Talk. Welcome to the programme. This week, we will be looking at a controversial new BBC documentary, The Estate. But first off, David has been very busy this week, so what have you been up to?
Well, Tara, this week I've been to the launch of the Northwest 200. Last year's event was cancelled due to bad weather, a bomb scare and an oil slick on the track, so organisers are hoping that this year's event will be a success, and they're going to hold it over 2 days. Here's the report.
First of all, a very warm welcome this morning to everyone, to our First Minister, Peter.
Last week, I went to the launch of the Relentless International Northwest 200 in Belfast Waterfront Hall. The worlds of motorsport and politics had joined forces to promote the annual motorbike races. They hoped to make this year's event a huge success after the disappointment caused by the cancellation of last year's event due to dangerous racing conditions. I asked First Minister Peter Robinson why the event was important to Northern Ireland's tourism industry.
Well, it's been a significant part of the tourist calendar in Northern Ireland for over 80 years now, and while we have some big projects this year which will put us on the world stage, the Northwest 200 still attracts literally tens of thousands of people from outside Northern Ireland into the province for the event, and that brings spending power, and it also means jobs in Northern Ireland.
And do you think the executive will get a good return on its money?
I think the executive have been getting a very good return for a very long period of time from the Northwest 200. I was delighted to see that tourism is providing £90,000 for them this year. I think as they continue to raise the bar on the event, the call gets all the stronger for them to continue to get funding and maybe better funding.
Enterprise Minister Arlene Foster also pledged her support for the event.
The Northwest 200 has been around for a long, long time, and it's very much a key part of what happens up on the North Coast. But of course, that has been augmented this year with all of the other events that are happening, including the opening of the Giant's Causeway Visitor Centre and, of course, the Irish Open, which is coming back to Royal Portrush.
And how much money do you think it can bring in to the North Coast?
Well, every year we get the figures back as to what it brings in, and it brings in millions of pounds to the economy, not just on the North Coast, but indeed right across Northern Ireland, because people are travelling up to the North Coast and what have you. So it is very much a worthwhile investment as far as government is concerned, because we see the money that comes back to the economy many, many times over.
So what have the organisers got planned to make sure that this year's Northwest is a success? This is race organiser Mervyn White.
Big change. We're doing a lot of other family type stuff which we haven't announced yet through the week itself. Paddock walkabouts, a number of sort of pieces of entertainment, if you like, in the paddock for the kids and that type of thing, you know. So we're really up on the ante on that this year, you know, to try and see if we can sort of bring the spectators back again through the paddock area and really, you know, feel good about the whole event itself.
Having Jerry McWilliams there is quite a big draw. What other big names can we, the crowds on the day?
Yeah, I mean, we're just finishing at the present time with the regulations and net reforms. They'll be going out next week. But I mean, the interest is massive. You know, we'll have the Michael Rutters, we'll have the TAS team of Alistair and Guy Martin. In the Super Twins, we have the likes of Ryan Farquhar and Jeremy Williams at the present time, you know. So it's early days yet. We'll be announcing them as we go through over the next couple of months. But the interest at the present time certainly is very, very good, and we're looking forward to a top class lineup for the event.
The inclusion of Jeremy McWilliams on the bill for the first time will be a big draw. I spoke to him at the launch.
So this is your first time at the Northwest. What made you decide to race this year?
I suppose I've been thinking about it for many years. You know, I had the opportunity to do it when I was with Joe Miller. Joe Miller was an avid road race fan way back in the sort of mid-90s. We were thinking of bringing one of his bikes over, and one thing that we couldn't do it. We were, the schedule was too busy during the Grand Prix season. So a bit more time in my hands, and you know, the introduction of the little 650 class seems like a bit of fun, and really that's how it came about. You know, working with Ryan, obviously, I'm off to see Ryan in Australia. Actually, we're racing his teammates over there, and this conversation started about a year ago at the same event in Phillip Island. And since then, we've been talking about it, and you know, maybe do a couple of races like the Sunflower that we did at the end of the year, some of the Mandela Masters we're talking about doing this year, and the Northwest.
As a racer, will it be much different from circuit racing?
I'd say it'd be quite a bit different. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I've a lot to learn. I will be wearing an orange bib, I'm told, which I've never had to wear before. It'll be a first for me as well. But I suppose it's, you know, I look forward to getting around with the rider liaison guys like Philip McCallan and Steve Plater. Hopefully learn a few things off them before we go up.
Now, all that remains to be seen is whether or not the weather can play its part.
If we can get a bit of decent weather this year, you know, and if the sun shines and everybody comes and buys their programme type of thing, you know, I'd be more than pleased on Saturday night the 19th.
That was Mervyn White there finishing that report. Well, the big talking point this week has been without a doubt the estate. The show looks at the lives of the residents of Ballysally Estate in Coleraine, and it's attracted a lot of controversy. David, what's your reaction been like?
Well, the reaction locally has been quite mixed, Tara. A lot of people were concerned that it would be a kind of point and laugh exercise, and to a large extent that has been true. However, I think it's brought the lives of the people in Ballysally to the fore, but I think maybe in the long run it could end up being quite positive for the estate. It has raised a lot of issues and brought them to the fore in the public's eye.
Leslie McCauley does community work in Ballysally. We spoke to her about the programme. Leslie, thanks for talking to us. What has the reaction been like among the community?
Hi. The programme's getting mixed reaction amongst the community. And, you know, I think the first showing of the programme was very positive, although the second programme was more negative, and you know, I have to question just the narrow point of view that it's coming across from. You know, I work in many estates, and of course there are the problems of poverty and family breakdown and unemployment and mental health issues and addiction and so on, but there's many good points as well, and many good families and very decent families and a very solid community spirit, and I hope that in the future programs that solid community spirit will come out, that that's there in Ballysally and other estates like Ballysally.
So you don't think the second episode has been fair to the residents of Ballysally?
I think it has been quite narrow. You know, there are other families in Ballysally who have lived there for years, and there's a lot of really good community development work going on as well. I mean, it's tough, and community development work is tough, but it's there and it's going on. And, you know, people are together trying to work together in improving the estate and the lives of the people who live in the estate.
Leslie, can I ask what aspect of the second episode did you think was unfair? Because in fairness to the programme, there's very little commentary. They actually don't say an awful lot. Was it the commentary that you thought was unfair?
Yeah. No, I think it's just, you know, I'm getting opinions from friends and other people that... one in particular, I think maybe it's the welfare dependency, that, you know, people are not willing to work. And on some occasions that is okay, but usually, you know, a lot of people don't see any hope in the future. And now with the recession, they don't see that there's jobs out there, and they don't see that hope. And I know it can be difficult, but I think a way forward there is empowering young people and empowering people who are unemployed to let them see they do have the skills and they can contribute to their local community and to a wider community. So, you know, I think it's unfair to have a program that said, you know, here's people and, you know, they're depending very much on handouts. And that's not always the case.
So if you could speak to the producers, Leslie, how would you suggest that they go about changing that?
You know, I think the producers should talk to families who have been there for years. I also think they should highlight the good things that go on in Ballysally. You know, for instance, a lot of the young people go to the integrated college, and they're doing really well, because my two girls go to the integrated college, which is just actually, you know, opposite from the Ballysally estate.
Mm-hmm.
So the college obviously attracts a lot of young people from Ballysally. And there's some young people doing, there a lot of the young people are doing really well educationally, and I take the students council in the school, in the integrated college, and I know that some of my students are from the estate, and they're fantastic, real shining lights, and they're very creative young people, you know, and very articulate. So, you know, there's a positive slant that I would say to the producers, you know, to take from that. And just also the community development groups that are in Ballysally, and also the work that the churches are doing in Ballysally. So I know the Presbyterian Church is doing a lot of good community work there as well. And also the primary school is a very successful primary school. So, you know, there's lots of positive things going on in Ballysally. And also there's a lot of good people and a lot of good characters there.
Okay, well, let's hope the remainder of the series does that for you then, Lizzie. Thanks a million for talking to us. Now we have David McLarty, East Londonderry MLA. So David, you're originally from Ballysally Estate. What's your experience of life on the estate?
Well, I lived in the Ballysally Estate for 2 years. In fact, I got married out of the Ballysally Estate way back 1973. It was a fairly new estate at that time. Nevertheless, it was a fantastic place to be brought up and to live in. People were from all over. They weren't all naturally Coleraine people. The Ballysally Estate was built to house a number of people who left troubled areas in Northern Ireland, and indeed for people from Coleraine itself. There was a wonderful community spirit about the place, as indeed still exists today, and it just is a wonderful place to be.
Yes, we've just had Leslie McCauley on the line, and she said exactly the same thing. We've noticed that the show makes a big issue of people living on benefits. Do you think that's fair?
It's not fair because of various circumstances, some that most that people can't help, whether it be ill health and their own benefits. It's unfair to concentrate on that. Of course, everybody's taken with the family of parents and two children, one of which has spina bifida. And my heart actually has gone out to that family, their struggle to make ends meet, even with the husband working full-time. I think one of the stark realities that came through in the programme was the fact that one individual who is on benefits and DLA claimed that he was taking home £300 a week, whereas the father of the family that I referred to was working very unsocial hours, had two children, of course, was working 40 hours per week and was taking home £260 a week. Now, if in fact those figures are correct, that just is not right by anybody's standards.
So, David, if what yourself and Leslie have been saying, and if you've only had a positive experience of Ballysally, and there's a great community spirit, why didn't you stay in Ballysally yourself?
Well, I didn't stay in Ballysally because my parents were in Ballysally. It was not my own home. And as I explained, I got married, and after marriage, we moved to another house on the other side of the river. I was originally from the other side of the river in Cologne, and a person from Cologne, well, you can never take the Cologne out of that person, but I would have had no qualms whatsoever had it been necessary to move back to Ballysally. I would have had no qualms about heading back, because, as I say, the people were and still are the salt of the earth. And I think when I first saw the trailer of the programme, it filled me with all sorts of fear and trepidation, because it was giving a totally, totally negative viewpoint of Ballysally and life in Ballysally. I have to say, the first two episodes which I've seen, I was slightly relieved that it didn't concentrate on all the negatives. There was a bit of balance there, but there are eight programs. We have yet to see six of those programs, and I still have a little bit of reservation about what might be portrayed, because obviously whoever has produced the programme has an agenda in mind, how they want the place to be portrayed. I'm well aware of a good number of people and organisations who were asked to take part in that programme, but refused to take part in the programme because they had absolutely no editorial control over how Ballysally was portrayed.
So how can the BBC then portray it in a good light if those people who are positive won't come on the show?
Well, because those same people had no control over how they were going to be portrayed. I was going on to explain there that I am a politician of some years' experience, and I have done numerous interviews on television and radio, recorded interviews, because recorded interviews can be doctored, let's say, and a little snippet of a 10-minute interview can be taken completely out of context to portray something quite different. And that was the fear of these organisations.
So why haven't politicians done something before now?
In what regard? Politicians are working day and daily to try and improve the lot of all the citizens, not only of Ballysally, Coleraine, but the entire province. There's difficulties in some of our large housing estates, not just housing executive estates, but private estates as well. There are social issues. And as the Bible itself says, the poor, unfortunately, are always with us. And politicians do have a huge job of work to do. They've had it in the past, and they continue to have that job of work to do, to try and improve the lot of those who are less fortunate than the majority of people.
If you could talk to the producers, David, of the show, what would you say to them?
I would say that I would hope that they would look upon Ballysally and truly portray what day and daily living in Ballysally is like. And I would suggest that, unlike the trailer, and I'm only going by the trailer, it is a much more positive and happy place to raise a family in than what that trailer portrays. There are social issues, yes, and we can't bury our heads in the sand and pretend they don't exist, but they don't dictate how life is lived day and daily for the vast, vast majority of people who live there.
It's obvious the feeling is that the show hasn't been fair to the residents.
Yes, there is a sense that the positive side of Ballysally hasn't been really shown at all so far. Although there have only been 2 episodes so far, so we'll have to come back to this later and see how people's opinions have changed then.
So that's it from Two Talk for this week. Listen in next week, we'll be looking at life after a serious road accident.